Time now for the Minnesota Hockey Magazine Show. 30 minutes of nothing but hardcore hockey. The Minnesota Hockey Magazine Show is presented by Dave's Sports Shop, Pheasant Hills Golf Course, the Minnesota Wild, and MinnesotaHockeyMagazine.com. And now, with the Minnesota Hockey Magazine Show, here's your host, Pete Wagner.
And hello, everybody. Welcome to the Minnesota Hockey Magazine Radio Show. It is the show that we love to put together each and every year. The section previews. Tim Kolomainen will join yours truly as we'll talk about that. And then Hockey John, who appears on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket, is going to talk a little bit about the Olympic playoffs as we get ready to go into the quarterfinals of the medal round. That coming up on this week's edition of the Minnesota Hockey Magazine Radio Show.
Looking for a free skate sharpening or a free roll of tape? Come into any of the Dave Sports Shop stores and just mention MinnesotaHockeyMagazine.com and get either a free skate sharpening or a free roll of tape on us. Hurry in, as this offer is good for the first 200 customers.
Visit Dave Sports Shop's three locations in Blaine, Fridley, and Stillwater. Dave Sports Shop.
Hi, I'm Neil Broughton. For all your Minnesota hockey needs, go to MinnesotaHockeyMagazine.com. The best one-stop online source for all your Minnesota hockey coverage and information.
And welcome back to the Minnesota Hockey Magazine Radio Show. Usually this kind of thing is reserved for the overtime radio show, but I think it's such big news in the state of hockey that we put it on the MHM radio show. Tim Kolomainen joins us. Tim, I know you're going out of town for a while. Going to miss most of the sections, is that correct, and then be back for the state tournament?
You got it, yeah. I'm actually going to go try to recoup and get ready for the big push in the state tournament. I'm at the Florida for a week, the final week of February.
Well, and you've taken to ill a little bit, so we're going to need to get you nursed back to health, aren't we?
Yeah. Well, I know you tease me all the time that every time the state tournaments roll around, whether it be volleyball in the fall or basketball and hockey in the spring here, I'm always sick for them. So, yeah, I got to get recovered. I can't start off sick.
It's true. You name it, and you're sick. So I'm just kidding, but no, you're a sick reporter. We'll just throw that one out there. So we've got some great content coming through. Obviously, the AA Top 10 post today. We'll be getting yours coming up for tomorrow on Tuesday. Those can also be found in the St. Paul Pioneer Press, which is awesome. We'll be doing that throughout the years in lacrosse, baseball, and other sports, softball as well. And then, of course, carrying through into the summer or the fall and winter seasons, looking at that. But anyway, the big deal right now is the boys section state tournaments begin. They're underway in some instances. I say, Tim, we go through our old format where we just go 1-8 in the double A and then rack it up 1-8 through the single A and kind of talk about what we think. Work for you?
You got it, man. We could probably talk for an hour, so we'll try to keep it short here so we don't ramble on too much. Huh?
We've done that before, so we'll certainly well, I got the crickets effect. We can pull that out at any time anyway. So the Section 1AA, you know, Lakeville North gets the 1 seed, Farmington the 2. Farmington's been a team that's really snuck up on a lot of people quietly. I wrote my write-up that, you know, they feasted on Minnesota Conference teams to the tune of now they're on a 16-game streak where they've ripped off, or 17 rather, where they're 16-0-1, much like what Lakeville North did. But with the Lakeville North Panthers, they've played a heck of a lot more top-notch, top 10 class AA teams. There isn't one on the Farmington schedule so far this year. And for Lakeville North, they've been very busy in that capacity as they're 8-2-1 against the top 10 teams. However, Farmington had a very successful Bantam campaign a couple years ago, and I know a number of players are on this team. I think it could be interesting there in the one.
Yeah, and it's one of those where it's going to be really difficult until these teams start playing against each other in the section tournament to kind of figure it out, too. I mean, like you said, Lakeville North, they are tested. They are the heavy favorite in that section. But Farmington, you know, like you said, the Minnesota is down. You know, Holy Angels isn't what they have been in the past few years. New Prague was a pretty good program out of the Minnesota there, and they got a top seed down single A. But yeah, I mean, the vast majority of teams that they played in that conference, you know, didn't necessarily test them. However, in their favor, they took care of business. You know, there's no slip up there. They, you know, like you said, 16-0-1. So they're both coming into the this section tournament with a lot of momentum. And I'd be curious to see what happens with Farmington. You know, do they get into that section final? Can they slip past you know, somebody like that third seed, Lakeville South, who always seems to get into that section final recently? I'm looking forward. I hope we do get a North Farmington section final just to see the battle tested versus the kind of the up and comer with Farmington there.
And you know, I took South in the final, even though they're 8-17 this year. You know, they've got guys like Tristan Hazlett, offensive players. They've got some very, very good players on that team that were just 2 years removed from the Justin Clue State Tournament team from his senior season when they were sophomores. And something tells me that Lakeville South is going to find their game. They've won some pretty impressive games, even though there's only been eight. They haven't really had the season they'd want. But you know what? You just get this really weird feeling that it's a been there, done that scenario. So in my selection, that's what I took. Do you think I'm crazy for that?
I don't think you're crazy at all. In fact, if you were I'm suggesting you hold a gun to my head or anything, but if you were to do that, I would probably go South North in that final, too. That's been the traditional final of about the last 5 years now, and I could definitely foresee the same thing happen.
I think there's
some good offensive firepower.
There's a lot of respect for the Farmington Tigers on this radio program. We just need to see a change, and before we can throw our hat in the ring there, I need to see Lakeville South be beat. So I'm tipping the cap to the Cougars there, and that's basically what I'm hearing you say too as well. So let's move on now to the Section 2AA. Edina gets the number one seed. How about this? You know, they're 24-1, Tim. Another 20-win season for Kurt Giles' team. They just, like an Energizer bunny, aren't they? They just keep on going.
Yeah, exactly. That program is always good. And I don't know if it was a strange year for them, is that they came out of the box hot. I mean, we were talking about them in December as an easy favorite in that number one ranking. And then, you know, things kind of over the holidays, a couple of slip-ups, and, you know, we forgot about Edina a little bit. But now, once we've hit February again, those guys, as they always seem to do under Kurt Giles, they're rolling again right now. I would be afraid of that Hornets team if I were playing against them in the playoffs.
Well, and I have them ranked number one at the end of the regular season, 2A rankings. To me, that's absolutely a no-brainer with the Lakeville North loss to Prior Lake at the end of the season. Their last game, by the way, that was 11 days ago for North. They're going to have to sit on that one for that long. I mean, that's what the time frame will be between games. But for Edina, they've got the Burnsville Blaze, who are 18-6-1. They had a tough loss to Bloomington Jefferson, who won in overtime. Johnny Panvica completes the hat trick in overtime. A healthy Panvica means a healthy Jefferson, which at number three, it is not automatic for Burnsville to get to Mariucci Arena.
Yeah, exactly. And the thing about, we talk about Edina as again, the obvious favorite in this section, but you know, you mentioned Burnsville. They did beat Edina this year, and that's something that they hadn't done in several years. And you know, it gives them a little bit of confidence maybe heading into that section tournament. And then Jefferson with Panvica back from injury and you know, coming up with that win against Burnsville earlier, you know, just this past week. I foresee it being one of those three teams, and I wouldn't be surprised if we end up with a Edina Burnsville final again in that section. I think that's kind of where we're trending, although Jefferson could throw a wrench into there. And, you know, even Prior Lake in that four spot, they've been really up and down this year. When they look good, I mean, when they played well, they look good, and they look like a team that could, you know, scare maybe Edina in that section semifinal. But they've also had some really poor poor results that you kind of scratch your head a little bit and you wonder what's going on there.
Well, from my perspective, I've said Prior Lake can play with and beat anyone on a given day, and then they can lose to anyone on a given day. So even Joe Pankratz, our head coach, is the first to admit it. You know, it just depends which club you get. He likes to think that 1-0 win over Lakeville North afforded them the feeling of what it's like to turn the corner. They played Edina very tight this year, but I do agree with you that Bloomington Jefferson Burnsville, I can't wait to see what that one, if they play each other, looks like in the semifinals. But I just feel like Edina is so suited and plays on the big sheet so well, and they've done it year after year after year. You know, with seven straight, why wouldn't it be eight? Oh, by the way, let me throw a number at you. 96-16. You know what that is?
Well, it's not my measurements, not my weight.
And it's not a biblical verse either. That's not true.
Yeah. What do you got for me? 96-16. Are we talking time? That's got to be time, right?
Yeah, 96 minutes and 16 seconds is the amount of time the Burnsville Blaze have been tied or led Edina this year out of 101 minutes and 42 seconds of play. That is staggering, and that is something to take with you if you're Burnsville into a section final. Should you qualify, and if you're Edina, you need to have short-term memory and say, hey, we're 1-1, because the one game that we were ahead was when we scored to end the game, and so therefore they've got something to play with too. But I think the 2AA is going to be really interesting. Moving on to 3AA, I don't know where to go with this one. Creighton-Durham Hall gets the top seed. They finish second in the Suburban East. They're 16-6-3. The Eastview Lightning are the number two seed. I feel like they're the best team of all of these teams, frankly. But lurking right behind there is St. Thomas Academy, who's really turned it on at the end of the season. They've got the most goals scored for with 138 in the entire AA hockey, which is something to think about, because they'll be matching up against three defensive potential juggernauts in Creighton-Durham Hall, Eastview, or Egan along the way, one way or the other, some way, somehow, not to mention the other teams in the section. But I don't know where to go with this one.
Yeah, I would like to be sitting in the coaching meeting in this one where they're doing the seeding. Honestly, those top four teams, you could make a case for any of those four to be switched around with another, right? You know, it's a jumbled mess, and I'm looking at this trying to make some sort of a prediction out of it. You know, if the seeds hold, you end up with a semifinal of Creighton against Egan and then Eastview against St. Thomas Academy. And honestly, I could see any of those four teams getting through into that section final, and I could see any of those four winning a section final. You talked about the defense of Eastview. Obviously, last year, Zach Driscoll in goal with the defense in front of him, and that really carried Eastview past Egan in an upset. You know, Egan lost a lot from last year. They're still very strong defensively. They've got some real good defensemen there, you know, Tommy Mock and Nick Wolf there, you know, and Andrew Lindgren in goal also. You know, kind of a mirror image of Eastview, really. And Creighton, they're coming up with a great year this year. Nick Reese and those guys, you know. And St. Thomas Academy that first year up into AA after winning, you know, the last three single-A state titles, they've still got, they're a little bit different than the other teams that we're talking about in Section 3, in that they've had some very strong forwards, Tom Novak, Cristiano Versich. You know, they've got a lot more firepower up front, and, you know, if you held my feet to the fire, no gun to my head on this one, I might pick St. Thomas Academy in the upset to come out of that section.
Very well could be. The thing that's interesting for me with St. Thomas Academy is they're battle-tested, they're tournament-tested, they play very well at this time of the year. Their coaching staff knows what their players need to do to execute, which is incredibly helpful at this point. But that's, you know what, let's face the facts. Everybody else in this section has done it too, from Jim O'Neill all the way down to Taylor and everybody else. They've got a pretty good handle on it. I still go with the old adage that offense wins games and defense wins championships. And when you have a team like Eastview, who's only allowed 47 goals against, that's pretty impressive. But they're not even the lowest team in the section. Egan has allowed 45 against, second in AA hockey, only to YZ is just pathetic, 32, and we'll get into them in a bit. But, you know, so I'm going to go with Eastview because they've been to the state tournament. They were very good last year. I like the way Driscoll plays, and I like the balance they have and the number of players that are in double digits of scoring for this team. I just think they have too much depth. So I took Eastview over Creighton-Durham Hall in the final.
You know, this could be a trend here, or look into your insight versus mine here. You like that defense, and I guess maybe I'm getting suckered in by the flash of the offensive teams here. So.
Well, you know, it's easy to do. It's easy to get caught into the Peyton Manning thing, but I think we learned on the football gridiron that offense wins games and defense wins championships. Even though our friends over at SportsCenter and every other news market are trying to say that offense is the only way to fly, it's a quarterback's league, that's a bunch of malarkey in my opinion. Yeah, they're important, they're critical, but you've got to have a well-rounded team. And I think in the hockey world that you better play defensive hockey, you better have a great power play, and your penalty kill better be even better. And so these are all of the elements that I look at, but there's always that that factor of the attitude and the tone and the tempo that the team has on the ice and off the ice. and with St. Thomas Academy, I think they're the one team that I could be wrong on. I'm just going to throw that out there because I do think they have the potential to win that section as well. But I'm going to go with Eastview over Creighton-Durham Hall.
You know, the way you were talking about that, I thought you were leading right into Section 4AA here. You were talking about balanced, well-balanced teams, offensively, defensively, special teams. I thought you were going to go right into the Hail Mary card on this one, but yeah.
Well, you did it for me. Perfect. Well, yeah, in the Section 4AA, Tim, you know, Hail Mary, how about the season they've had? Again, like Edina, they've got three losses. They're 22-3-0, and it's very, very impressive on their part. I mean, they've got a great mix of offensive thrust and defensive play as well, and they have not been shy putting the puck in the net. They've got a Mr. Hockey finalist in Mitch Slattery. He's been to the state tournament a few times, knows his way around the rink.
You know what's funny about this is I sound like a broken record whenever I talk about Hail Mary because I always talk about it doesn't seem to matter what they lose from year to year, even what they lose in season sometimes. They have talent on that JV roster that they can bring up that would be starting for a lot of big AA teams. And a coach, Bill Lechner, knows how to get the most out of his players. And again, this year, 22 wins in 25 games, he's done the same thing this year. And they look like, you know, they look like the clear favorite again, you know, with apologies to White Bear Lake, who's hanging right in that number two spot, as they seem to do year to year, too. You know, it's just tough to pick against Hail Mary with the balance and the talent that they have on there. And then, you know, the freshman, Joey Anderson, coming up with a hat trick, I think, in his last game, too, you know, showing the firepower on some of the young guys on that team. So, yeah,
Well, putting the biscuit in the basket's not a problem for Hail Mary. 137 goals, second in Class AA right there again as well, right behind the St. Thomas Academy Cadets. They only have allowed 53 goals, which is top 10 as well. So they are well balanced, but well coached, well defined, disciplined. They play the way the coach wants them to. They execute, and that's always a major card. Now the White Bear Lake Bears, though, I've got a really sentimental feel about this team. I like the way Jake Wallen's playing. His 70 points are all big. He's only been held off the score column twice all year long. They had that epic 5-4 overtime loss to Hail Mary. I'm saying, you know, Stillwater, Roseville, Moundsview, by the way, playing much better hockey, potential bracket busters that could win some games along the way, so I'm not ruling them out, but I've got Hail Mary and White Bear Lake in the section final, and the way I see it, I'm going to take White Bear Lake this year because I think they're feeling it. Do I think they're the better team? I don't, but I think they're going to win this year at the Coliseum.
They've got two things going for them. The Wallen is going to be the best player on the ice, and you know, that's a big factor right there. And then the second thing is the history between these two programs is so thick, and White Bear Lake has pulled off playoff upsets before. In fact, you know, some of these kids remember that playoff upset from just a couple of years back when they upset Hail Mary. You're not crazy, but I'll stick with the Pioneers in this one.
I don't blame you.
I'll ride that favorite card, yeah.
I don't blame you. I'm just, you know, I'm doing it just because I can't just take the one. And if I was to pick a two that I think is going to pop out of there, I'm going with White Bear Lake because I think they couldn't get it figured out in regulation their first game, and this one's going to be no different either. Moving along to the Section 5AA, the Blaine Bengals, 24-1. How about them? They've slowly got it done. The only thing about the Bengals that I'm going to kind of harp on, first the good, they have 15 seniors on their roster, which is very impressive. They have 137 goals as well, just like Hail Mary, tied for second among the Class AA teams. And you know what? Shockingly, I think people were kind of picking on them, saying that they've got problems keeping the puck out of the net, but that's not necessarily the case. They've only allowed 58 against, which is very stingy as well. They have great skill. Are they going to be interested and capable of coming through the big-name games? Now, in the Section 5AA, Maple Grove just came off a 5-1 loss to Blaine. I don't see Blaine having a loss there. Centennial has a 13-10-2 season. They've been okay. Anoka's had a nice season. But the wild card in here is, what about the Rogers Royals?
Yeah, their first season up in AA, hanging out in that five seed right there, too. You know, there's a little bit of a bracket buster, that 4-5 between Anoka and Rogers.
Yes.
You could see Rogers easily win that game and get a matchup with Blaine in that semifinal, and that would be interesting. You know, the Royals have some really good defensemen. They, you know, they got a Michigan Tech recruit there. I'm blanking on his name right now, and I'm it must be the all the drugs that I'm on from my sickness here. But, yeah, they've got a Michigan Tech recruit back on defense. And then they've got a young guy, too, Matt Hellickson, that, you know, he's played in the USA select teams. And, you know, those two guys log a lot of ice time. Travis Brown is his name, by the way. Those two guys log a lot of ice time back on the blue line and really can cause trouble, potentially, for those quick Blaine forwards. So that could be interesting, although, you know, I think this is Blaine's year. I think, you know, these guys, like you mentioned, they're all seniors, and you know they remember 2 years ago when Maple Grove destroyed them in that section championship, and then last year in the semifinals, Chaplin Park upset them. So these guys are going to be very hungry, and I would be surprised if we see, you know, them slip up again like that.
You know, Maple Grove is coming into this thing 2-2-1 in their last five. I don't want to say they're limping, but they're not blowing it out there to finish out the season. 14-win season, very impressive. The thing for Blaine is I do think they get through. I've got Blaine defeating Maple Grove in the section final. But for Blaine, their 3-4-1 record against top 10 teams in the Minnesota Hockey Mag polls, which includes your top team in the East Grand Forks, Green Wave, has to be better if they're to win a state championship. And this is a team with their veteran experience, a Mr. Hockey finalist and Tyler Klein, where I'm looking out there saying, wow, I mean, you guys have got enough talent to get this thing done and win the whole thing. I was asked on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket who I thought was going to win it. And I said, you know, I picked Blaine at the beginning of the year. I say it with a little trepidation, but I don't have a choice. I got to stick with him. So, you know, there's a reason why I did it, and it's the veteran leadership. I do believe you win with seniors, you lose with seniors, and that's you live and die by how good your seniors are, and I think that's the case for the Blaine Bengals this year.
I think your prediction will also live and die with those seniors. If they come to play, you're looking good. If they don't, you're going to see Blaine not make it out of that section again.
They could break a 5-year string of me picking the Class 2A champions, so no pressure there, boys. In the Section 6AA, this one has gotten, I don't want to say weak, but it's not what it was. I mean, Wayzata's clearly pulled away. Eden Prairie rallied themselves for a nice close to the season, finishing 14-8-3, but clearly Wayzata's the heavy favorite here. Holy Family Catholic is the team that I think can top Eden Prairie. In fact, I think Wayzata and Holy Family Catholic play in the section final at Mariucci Arena. That's my call. By the way, for you 6AA fans, there will be no live video streaming shut down by the 6AA. How about that?
Ouch! That is not good. You're gonna have to go in person and see those games.
For that one, the 2AA, yeah, it's fine.
You say this one's a little bit down, and I think that's, you know, kind of a factor of Minnetonka's season. You know, they're the sixth seed; they only won 8 games this year. Speaking of senior laden teams, those guys were last year, and this is a little bit the result of a reloading effort there. Kind of a late season swoon here. They get the 4 seed; they're not as strong. They don't look as strong right now as they have in past years. They're having a lot of trouble keeping the puck out of the net. It's a chance for a team like you said, Holy Family Catholic, who has been on the rise lately, has a lot of talent on that roster, but they've been looking for that first section win. You know, they matched up against Eden Prairie last year and kind of got it handed to them, and I think those guys have that experience now, and I think you may see a little bit deeper run in the playoffs from Holy Family Catholic, but I don't know how you can pick against Wayzata in that section.
You really
came out of there last year. Yeah,
you can't, but Armstrong is capable of duplicating that effort when they beat Eden Prairie. Was that last year in the first round? They're 9-14-2, and they've got themselves some nice wins. You know, how about Cooper with the big scoring they have on that roster? I mean, that's a scary situation for a 1-8. I mean, I think the interesting thing is 5, 6, 7, and 8 in this section are better than most of the other sections, so it balances out. I just don't feel 1 through 4 is the dominant forces that they were in the past. And you know, I think Hopkins can definitely take down Benilde St. Margaret's on Thursday night. That's not wishful thinking as a hockey parent either. Boy, I can't wait till this is over so I can just be a reporter again.
Well, and even the 3-6, the Holy Family Minnetonka, there's no reason Minnetonka can't pull a little upset there. And then you mentioned the 2-7, the Edinburgh Armstrong. There's a history there. So, it doesn't have that loaded feel that it has in the past, but you know what you've got is you've potentially got some much more interesting quarterfinal games going here.
Well, things can happen in that section. So I'm going to go Wayzata returning for the second straight year with a win over Holy Family Catholic in the section final. In the 7AA, I think this is the best, deepest section. Look at this, Duluth East, 18-6-1. Number one seed, Elk River, with 18 wins. Number two seed, number three seed, Andover, with 17 wins. Number four seed, Grand Rapids, with 17 wins. Forest Lake, with 15 wins at the five seed. The six seed has St. Michael Albertville, who's over 500 at 13-11. So, wow, these teams have taken turns beating each other. Very difficult to come together and say, okay, here's the seedings. By the way, your top five teams combined for an 85-34-5 record in this section, and it's, to me, it's too close to call. I think the sleeper in this whole thing is Andover, but I also think that Avery Peterson, a Mr. Hockey finalist, a Minnesota Wild draft pick, and then Hunter Shepard are going to give the Grand Rapids Thunderhawks a lot to say, but they have a very difficult matchup with Forest Lake in the opening round.
I'm going to go one deeper on you even that. The number seven seed, Cloquet, Pesco Carlton.
Oh, absolutely.
Just 2 weeks back. 2 weeks back, they beat the top seed. They beat Duluth East just back. I mean, that's a great rivalry game, too. A very interesting section. Just deep top to bottom. We could have just about anybody come out of that thing. And I know you slipped Forest Lake into your top 10 rankings this week in that 10 spot, and they're the five seed in section seven. So, I mean, top to bottom, you see how deep that section is right now. Again, as it has been the last 5 years, it's Duluth East section to lose. They're the top seed. We've seen Elk River is capable of being a real threat in that number two seed. You know, they're still adjusting to in-season losses that they've had, but we won't go any further on that. But, yeah, and you, I know you really like Andover, Tyler Tomberlin, and those guys there. You know, Ryan Olsen in goal. That's a really dangerous team, too, especially with the schedule that they play in the Northwest Suburban Conference. Well, and Grand Rapids. I mean, I like Grand Rapids, too. There's no reason they can't come out of that four seed. So, I mean, this is going to be a terrific section again.
Well, I think Elk River, you know, when you look at the 12 goals that they've scored over the past two games or whatever it was, have really righted their goal-scoring questions. Actually, they've outscored their opponents 19-4 in their last four and winning four straight. So I think it's fair to say they've moved on from the issue that was presented to them that they weren't expecting, and those kids have done a hell of a job to keep it together. My prediction, Duluth East over Andover. I think Andover's going to win the 2-3 game against Elk River. They've already beaten the Elks once this year, and I think it's their year to go back to Amsoil in the finals and take on Duluth East. But I'll take Duluth East winning.
You know, I'm a Duluth East graduate, an 89 Duluth East graduate, and I love that prediction that you made. But I think this is the year the run ends. I think I'm going to pick Elk River to come out of there. I'm going to pick those guys to rally together and go on the road for that section final and get back to the X. So I'm going to go Elk River against my better judgment.
I would agree with you. If Elk River gets past Andover, I would say the exact same thing. I'm just saying the Huskies are going to top them. So, but I do agree with the banding together, becoming a team, being tighter, and getting the job done as a group. I think Elk River gets better through all of this, and I wouldn't disagree with you one bit. The 8AA is up in your land. That's really an interesting section. It's a one-team race, really, when you look at records. But when you look at what these teams have done in the section play, Rosa was unbeaten at 6-0-1. And then you have Brainerd that was 7-3-1, and Moorhead was 5-2-1 in the section play. So those are 1, 2, and 3 teams. And then you have Bemidji and Buffalo. Buffalo has 15 wins, but they were atrocious in the section.
Yeah, I know it's a strange section, and what we're seeing here this year is we've got a little more balance than usual, a little more parity, and it's going to make for some interesting section tournaments. And this is going to be one of them as well. You know, since 1996, it's either been Rosa or Moorhead coming out of this section, and they are the top two seeds. So when you first look at it, you're thinking, here we go again. We're going to see same old Spuds Rams section final, and one of those two is going to get down to the X for the 17th year in a row. That's not necessarily the case, though. You know, Rosa obviously is the clear favorite. They didn't lose to anybody in the section. They really pounded Brainerd twice when they played them. They beat Moorhead handily in Moorhead. They shut them out. They did tie the Spuds in the other game that they played. So Moorhead does have a little bit of a little bit of hope there. Rosa seems to be too strong right now. They have some great offense. That top line, you mentioned Zach Yon as a Mr. Hockey candidate finalist there. He just committed to the University of North Dakota. He's a terrific player. Alex Strand centers that line too, and he's He's more of a playmaker. He really gets Jan set up. And Cole Bukeson on defense, as I understand it, he's missed a few games in a row with an injury, but as I understand it, he's coming back for the section playoffs. Really bad.
Yeah, he still has amassed, 41 points on the year, missing some games. He's having a heck of a season from the blue line. Very impressive.
Oh, he's going to play a ton, too. And as long as he's back, I think Rosa is your clear favorite. If he's not at 100% or if he's slowed, you know, we could see a little something different out there. I really like Brainerd's top line. They came into Moorhead here and scored 5 goals against the Spuds. And that's a difficult thing to do. Moorhead usually doesn't give up that kind of goal total. But Brainerd's top line, Ellingson and Cole Smith and those guys, they were very good in that game, and they could carry Brainerd too. I've kind of been on that Brainerd bandwagon the last few years, and they haven't come through. They played Moorhead tough in the section final last year, and you know, those guys are seniors on that top line, and maybe it is their, you know, as you say, win with seniors. Maybe this is the year Brainerd finally breaks through.
It might be, but I'm going to fall back on what you said with players like Jan Strand and Bukes, and I can't not go against the run of 1996, making it another year with one of those two teams. And I've got Roseau, though. I'm tipping the cap to your Brainerd Pillager Piers team and saying that they top Brainerd Pillager Piers in your Section 8 AA final.
I like that prediction. I like that. Roseau over Brainerd in the section final. I think we could live with that. Against my better judgment as a Moorhead guy now, too. And I'm going against Moorhead and Duluth in my predictions. I'm not a homer. It's pretty clear.
Wow. But even though you stated it, we all know what you're really thinking. We get it. It's all good. Tim, we've droned on for almost 30 minutes here, and I'm thinking that we should make an on-air production meeting decision here, that maybe tomorrow, if you're available, tomorrow being Tuesday, that we record the same version to give the Class A the respect it's due, and then I'll just get Hockey John on here between our intermission or our we'll take a quick break. I'll bring Hockey John on to talk with some Olympic hockey, and then you and I will pick up the Class A with a special show for tomorrow. Does that work for you?
I would absolutely love to talk 30 minutes of Class A hockey tomorrow. I'll be ready for you, Pete. I'll have my top 10 done, too.
Awesome. So let's do that. We're going to take a break. Tim, thanks a lot. When we come back, it's going to be Hockey John talking Olympic hockey right here on the Minnesota Hockey Magazine radio show.
Zach, Sammy, and Cole all have a very special wish. We're making those wishes come true. Hi, I'm Brian Dennehy. I want to be sure that you know about a very special wish-granting organization, Wishes and More. We enhance the life of a child fighting a terminal or life-threatening condition by providing extraordinary experiences and more. If you know of a child that we can help, or if you'd like to help us make wishes come true, please contact us. Thanks.
Hi, I'm Neil Broden here in Hammond, Wisconsin at the Pheasant Hills Golf Club, a favorite local course of mine in western Wisconsin. Located just a short drive from the Twin Cities, for its value and course layout, Pheasant Hills Golf Club is a great place to live. For 2013, enjoy country living on the golf course with large course lots available starting at just $25,000 per lot. For all details on golf course lots, call Ron Bonte at 715-796-2500.
And welcome back to the Minnesota Hockey Magazine radio show. We're happy to bring on John D. St. Hubert, also known as Hockey John, as you can hear him on the Michael Knight Show on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket. John, how's your day treating you right now? Another snowy one, but hey, you can be locked in watching U.S. Olympic women's hockey at least.
You know, I did catch the game this morning and then did my snow blowing and just looked at out the driveway and snowplow just went by, so back off I go.
You got to fire that thing back up. For those of you that don't know, John D. St. Hubert was, of course, a member of the Bloomington Jefferson Jaguar teams that were legendary in proportion back in the 90s when they were ripping off state title after state title after state title. Went on to play at St. Olaf College and is a hockey enthusiast and now budding journalist. I heard you on the radio and I loved your takes when it came to the Olympic hockey, and I wanted to get right into it as far as the Olympics are concerned. You know, we've got it down to what will be the play-in games to the quarterfinal round. First of all, your overall takes on what's happened in Sochi as far as how these teams are playing, all of them, just from a general perspective.
first off, Pete, I'm a Gustie. Nothing against the St. Olafolies, but...
Oh, my word, I choked. Sorry.
That's quite all right. But looking at the Olympics, I think, you know, pretty much coming in, the teams that were favored, Sweden, Canada, Russia, United States, have all played fairly well. I don't think we've seen the top games played by any of them. To me, the surprise of the tournament was Slovakia and how poorly they've played. I thought... I expected a little bit more coming into the games. Missing Marian Gabrek, that's a big deal. I guess you check out the overall roster, and the Slovaks are starting to get up there in age. And that was a real disappointment for me. I thought we'd see a good contest between the U.S. and Slovakia, and I thought also, and it ended up being a good contest with Canada, but Canada played a poor game.
You know, and interestingly enough, as I say, maybe they righted their ship in that one with Canada, but if that is a trend for them, they'll at least have the ability to take on the Czech Republic, and we know that's a filthy rivalry between those two. They just don't like each other.
Well, anytime you get those European countries playing against one another, and the rivalries go way back, those are fun to watch, and they both play pretty much the same style of play. They like to run a 1-2-2, and with Chara back there, you know, he's a stud on defense and can handle himself, and I expect him to play a lot more minutes than he did in the opening rounds. I think he only played 17 minutes against the United States, and being such a workhorse, I don't know why the coach didn't have him out there playing a little bit more.
Well, maybe he's saving him for this point, probably looking at it saying, you know what, we're not going to be in the bye situation here, and we've got a lot of hockey to play. That could be one notion, but you are correct, no question there. Were you a little bit surprised to see, I mean, do you think Russia was surprised to not get the pool?
Well, they would have won the pool if the post wasn't off by an inch. And looking back at the game, Russia dominated the third period. The U.S. came into the tournament built around being a puck possession team, and the Russians possessed the puck the most crucial part of that game. And again, if that post isn't off one inch, which didn't affect the goal whatsoever, I think we're looking at the United States as a little bit of a different team.
And as we do know, that is the Olympic rule. There is no carry through or follow through, as we're aware of in the National Hockey League. Once it's off, it's off. They did their diligence with the replay. So it wasn't like it was cheap, but it was the rule. But you are correct. An inch away, and the U.S. could be playing tomorrow as opposed to, or today rather, or tomorrow rather, as opposed to having 2 days off.
Yeah, Jonathan Quick slides over, knocks the post off a fraction of an inch, and it's no goal. Teams are looked at completely different, and it comes down to really a gimmick. I mean, I know we need to have the shootout just to get the games quicker, but it comes down to a gimmick. It's not a hockey play, and I'm not the biggest supporter of the shootout. I mean, if we just look at the U.S. and Russia game, Patrick Kane comes down in overtime, getting chased at full speed, and tries to go 5-goal, and it was covered up immediately. TJ Oshie comes down skating like a squirt, and, you know, that 5-hole is wide open because Oshie can do any move he wants going a quarter speed. It's just, it's not hockey. I'd rather they have a player, you know, maybe behind the shooter going from the blue line, chasing him down as fast as he could, and then make it at least a little bit more, you know, like it is in a hockey game.
It is a skills competition, and we always used to joke about that in the NHL. You know, you get your point. Now let's go on to the skills competition and award the point to the next team that wins. And I remember the first time I really experienced that, and maybe you recall, back in your days at Gustavus, my apologies, in 94, when Forsberg and Sweden were winning a game. I believe it was against U.S. or Canada in the shootout, and it was just so hard to fathom and take.
Yeah, well, and then he pulled out the move with that little, you know, drag it to the backhand as he's going the other way. And it was, you know, it was postage stamp material. Obviously, oh, yeah. It ended up on a stand. But, you know, that was my first kind of look at it. And I loved it at that point. I was a little bit younger, and I loved it. It was just great. But, you know, now kind of figuring out the game a little bit more. And, you know, I'd like to see it won on a hockey play, not just some kind of a gimmick.
Yeah, I think we all would, too. Now, Canada. Let's get to them. I feel like they're really disjointed. Of all of the teams that we're looking at out here, they don't feel right to me. And, you know, I can't help but look at Claude Giroux as he's out of the lineup. I love whistling that Frenchy name. And then you've got Thornton, who's not there. Obviously, there's no Stamkos with his injury. You know, there were some players that I think are quite prolific. I think they... it looks to me like they worked too hard to come up with a grinding lineup to match some of the scores where they've outthunked themselves a little bit.
Well, you know, when I've watched them in the tournament, you know, I kind of put some of the blame on Babcock, the coach. He's constantly juggling the lines. And, you know, looking at the team, I think he brought Chris Kunitz for one reason and one reason only, to play with Sid. When that wasn't work, he started plowing through, you know, wingers, one winger after another, trying to get Sid going. Instead of creating some chemistry between the other three lines, I think he's too worried about getting wingers to play with Crosby and not worrying about the chemistry that they could have, and leaving Thornton and Giroux off, you know, two of the best goal scorers in the NHL or point getters in the NHL. It might be a mistake. It might come back to bite them.
I totally agree.
I think out of the 11 goals that Canada scored so far, five of them have been scored by defensemen.
Yeah, I thought it was six. Actually,
is it six?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, six by their defensemen, and that's a lineup that, and three of them scored by Jeff Carter. So we're looking at Crosby with two assists. Patrick Marleau leaves the forwards with 4 points, and you're just kind of your jaw kind of drops looking at their statistics, because they are loaded on paper. You know, there's not a better team in the tournament on paper, but they're just not coming together. They have no consistency with their lines. Their goaltenders have actually surprised me a little bit. They haven't had a true test against a quality team. So if Canada gets going, watch out. But that's a big question. You know, can they get going? Can they create some chemistry, you know, over a couple days now and start it up?
Now, on the contrary, you feel like the U.S. has some terrific chemistry. They really are playing for each other. There's no egos there. There's a bucket load of talent, and you're seeing guys score from all over the place and putting together some great performances, in my opinion. And I don't think many were thinking of the U.S. as legit medal contender or gold medal contenders, but they kind of have to be right now, don't you think, with that number two seed, the way they're playing?
I would think so. And surprisingly, coming into the tournament, the big question was the U.S.'s ability, how they were going to score some goals, how they were going to adapt to the big ice. And, you know, looking back, if you pull up the statistics, I believe it's four of the top NHL goal scorers are actually U.S.-born players. And that's only one less than the Canadians have. And our guys have come out, and I say our guys, the U.S. guys have come out and put pucks in the net. I mean, Phil Kessel might be the hottest hockey player in the world, one of only a couple players in the NHL that have over 30 goals. He had a good month before he came in to the tournament. He's kept it going. One thing I really like about the U.S. is how they've been able to handle a little adversity. And they haven't been down, obviously, by many goals, maybe not even more than one. But in that game that they did play against Slovakia, Slovakia tied it up in the U.S. All they did was open the floodgates and start pumping pucks in the net. And, you know, the game after the Russian game against Slovenia, that's a game that the U.S. could have come in and been a little bit mentally unprepared. And kind of dropped the ball, and they scored 64 seconds into there, and then they just got on a roll. You compare that to the Russians, who came, you know, after the U.S. game, they came into the next game, and they might not have had their heads in the game, and it was a tough one for them to pull out. So, you know, mentally, that the U.S. team is there. They have chemistry. All the lines are clicking. You know, anybody you put right now with Pavelski, it is a good line. And Kessel and Van Riemsdyk play together in Toronto. They've carried that chemistry over. What I would like to see is maybe a little more offensive production from the line that Parisi's on. Now, you know,
yeah, that's interesting.
They kind of have that role that, you know, they're the shutdown line, and they've done their job. Zach is, and the whole line back is Callahan, great defensive, you know, forwards. But we need them to step up if this team wants to move on and win a gold medal. They have talent to score goals. So hopefully they can shut down the other team's top line and put a few pucks in that as well.
They're scoring a lot of goals. Jonathan Quick's looking very good. TJ Oshie's become an overnight sensation as his Twitter account blows up. Over 250,000 new follows as of yesterday, and I'm sure he continues to become the household name that he is. He has a Today Show appearance. It's been a lot of fun. I mean, to me, I can only take so much Johnny Weir in the ice dancing scene, man. I can't do it anymore. I can't. And so whenever the hockey's on, I'm like, thank you, Lord, we're watching hockey.
That's pretty much how I feel. I'm sick of watching the Netherlands win gold medal after gold medal.
Oh, how about that?
Well, you know, the U.S. comes up with all these, you know, excuses about the suit, and they change suits and same performance. They're just not bringing it. And you know, big cross-country skier. I don't really enjoy it too much.
That's a lot of cardio, John.
Well, that's the thing. Mm-hmm. And I can only handle so much of the, you know, the European countries slaughtering us and anything outside of pretty much, a couple, maybe figure skating. I think they, spoiler alert, I think they won the gold in that dancing thing or whatever there is. And, we've thrown in some other gold medals. But, overall, I kind of have a feeling that it's going to be a disappointing game when they all end up.
Isn't it interesting? It seems like we're getting kind of torn apart in everything but hockey at this point. I mean, there's some good things going on out there, but we're not dominating. And I'm wondering and feeling as if some of like the skiing situation seems like a very old team, and we're kind of getting off on the games here, but they're in transition, it feels to me. And, obviously White's getting older and he bails on the pipe and all that other stuff. And I wonder if they're not digging, how it is. Sometimes you can be a little bit of divas in this country if they're not digging the surroundings around them or what's happening. You heard about the complaints about the suits and everything else. And, is it just excuse after excuse? Or, I mean, to me, it's a tip of the cap to the hockey teams because they are rolling up their sleeves and going to work.
Well, and the thing is, no matter how the U.S. team as a whole in all the sports end up coming home, if the U.S. men and the U.S. women can win gold medals, it will be considered a success, and we'll be very proud of all of our athletes. So a lot of pressure, I guess, is kind of revolving around the next couple of days in hockey, because they lose and the games are considered a disappointment, and we win and hey, we're the best. There is no comparison, I guess, to the Russians and how they have to be feeling and the pressure they have. Playing in front of that home crowd, and that's another team that's really not putting the puck in the net like I thought. I think Ovechkin only has a couple points. Datsyuk's not really scoring. I don't. The talent that they have in the forwards is not coming out. Hasn't come out yet. And they're another team. If they get on a roll with that home crowd behind them, they might give Sweden a good run for their money to get in that gold medal game.
Look out for Sweden, and they're down Zetterberg and a couple of Henrik, Zetterberg and Sedin. So we'll see what happens there. Sir, we're going to check in with you when we get toward the medal rounds for the next Minnesota Hockey Magazine radio show. We appreciate your contributions.
You have a good night.
You too. John D. St. Hubert, Hockey John, right here on the Minnesota Hockey Magazine radio show. Don't forget, we're going to have another Class A preview coming up for you. That'll post sometime on Tuesday. That's going to do it for Tim Kolomainen and John D. St. Hubert. I'm Pete Wagner. So long, everybody.
This has been the Minnesota Hockey Magazine Show. The Minnesota Hockey Magazine Show has been presented by Dave Sports Shop, the Pheasant Hills Golf Course, the Minnesota Wild, and MinnesotaHockeyMagazine.com. This has been the Minnesota Hockey Magazine Show.